session, we have decided to change the program a little bit around. We will continue with the question and answers because we can really see it is there's great interest there. Those who wanted to hear the Leela, it will continue, but tomorrow at the time of the Bhagavatam class, it will be completed then. Let us just, before we start, come back to the lecture of His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj, who spoke about, he quoted one author, Richard Rohr, where the Richard Rohr said, most of the time answers are not answering the questions. And then he continued that maybe because people are satisfied with quick answers, but quick answers will only keep them at the surface. Only when they struggle with questions, means engage with the question, be present with the question, make the question their own question, will they get the heart earned bread of realization, something like this. So I request you to continue in the question and answer session like this. Think about the questions, and I'm sure many of the questions, if not all of them, could become your own questions if you are willing to engage with the question. Otherwise, you will just have an information, so many informations in the mind, but these will be informations you don't act upon. Let me conclude with a short example. Prabhupada had told me I should become a cook, so therefore I tried and I tried and I tried, but I have only interest in eating, not in cooking. And therefore my cooking skills have not surpassed simple carrot halwa, fruit salad, and bus, that's where, and porridge. More I cannot do. Now I am, and I'm also not interested to learn more, because, but now, if I am placed in a country, and there is no one there, the literature which I consider the most boring literature in the universe, that is cooking books, become of high interest for me. I will scan them. I will, wow, how do we do this here? I might even ask, I might even overcome my unwillingness to telephone and place a telephone call to Gokrishna's mother, who is an excellent cook, for specific advices. And so on. You know, when you have an interest in something, at that moment, a vital interest, I should say, ein lebendiges Interesse oder lebensnotwendiges Interesse, at that time you will engage with the subject, like in this example, cooking, in an entirely different way than if you have no interest in it. So I would request you, because we are already we have had many wonderful answers, to make a specific endeavor to really listen to the question. What is the questioner is asking? See if that is touching on something in you that you would like to have an answer on, and then take great interest in the answer, because I really feel with Keshava Maharaj on left with this insightful, practical philosophy, and Hari Parshad Prabhu with his amazing insights into the Shastras, we can get some very good answers and some very relevant answers. So, yes, so let us continue like this. It's going well, so we should perhaps, to warm up everything, start with Mathurananda, who must have thought about his questions 10 times already in the pause.
I was hoping to finish the session, not to start. Thank you so much for this opportunity, this incredible opportunity to ask a question to such a esteemed, I mean, we can, what to say, I really wanted to use this opportunity. Something that has stirred in my heart during this Bhakti immersion as a little bit of an opposing force, so to say. As we are immersed in the rasa of Krishna and Vrindavan, one is hard-pressed to desire any other relationship with the Lord other than that. And this is now at odds with the idea of Ishtadev, with some, you know, other relationship with Krishna or with Ram or with Nrsimha, or I would almost, honestly, I'm afraid even to investigate this, not to be cheated out of this highest rasa and most pleasing to the Lord that is experienced by residents of Vrindavan. So if you can illuminate something on this, I would be very grateful. Mm-hmm.
Who is it aimed for?
Perhaps Hari Parshad.
I can't even imagine, you know.
It sounds that Hari Parshad should start.
So I don't see the problem. I think it is the success of the retreat that you are afraid of investigating other relationships. We succeeded in what we set out to achieve. But Sri Raghunath Das Goswami in his prayers often expresses the idea that now I do not even want to look at Dwaraka and I do not want to consider any other service. So this idea is already deep rooted within the tradition. I guess Sangat Sanjayate Kaman, that the association that we have determines the desires that we have. So since we heard a lot of holy pastime in Vrindavan from Maharaj, and since there were some verses from Sri Rupa Goswami being spoken, therefore a particular emotion might have stirred in the heart. Why not take some time and see if it persists? And if it persists, then maybe it is worth cultivating. And there are other sadhus, Gaudiya Vaishnava sadhus within our movement who are also interested in other rasas with Sri Krishna. I'm not sure with Ram or anything because the society is named in a biased way. So International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the bias starts from the very name itself. But this bias is not, there is nothing wrong in this bias because the term bias is often misunderstood. This is a very nice, it is very nice to have this bias towards Sri Krishna because this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had. But there are, Gaudiya Vaishnavism allows one to explore various other relationships except for one, which is Shantaras. Shantaras or neutrality has been rejected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is given in the Chaitanya Charitamritam. So other relationships are still acceptable, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And there are many sadhus in Gaudiya Vaishnavism who specialize in these particular rasas. There are literature in Gaudiya Vaishnavism such as Prayo Bhakti Rasarnava, which is like the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, specially for Sakhya Ras. So, but Shanta Ras is not allowed. There is, it is clearly mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I will quote this and then I will quickly finish. Shantera Swabhava Krishne Mamata Gandhahina Param Brahma Paramatma Jnana Praveena. This is Madhya Lila 19.218. Srila Prabhupada says it is the nature of Shantaras that not even the smallest intimacy exists. Rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come to give five rasas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Chari Bhava, that he came to give four rasas. One rasa is excluded, which is Shantaras, because there is no feeling of belongingness, I and mine, in relationship with Krishna. Other rasas can be explored in the association of sadhus who are themselves connoisseurs of that particular rasa. But ultimately you will have to settle down and be biased towards one rasa. So that is what I would like to say. Alright, thank you.
Just a short answer. You remember the key verse for the Bhagavad Gita, the always think of me and become my devotee, offer your worship to me and offer your obeisances to me and you will come to me. It's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada comments this. I will read to you from the second paragraph of his purport. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute. Do you remember where Krishna carries a flute? And where does he not carry a flute? And yes, everywhere else, yes. So this is quite exclusive. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute. The bluish boy with a beautiful face and what is in his hair? A peacock feather, yes. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Sanhita and other literatures. Do you remember, every morning we sing two verses from the Brahma Samhita which are clearly glorifying the Lord of Vrindavan with blooming and blossoming eyes, with holding a flute, Venum Kvanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham. And these verses appear in Jiva Goswami's description. He says these two verses are the way we Vaishnavas meditate about Krishna and his form. No? And every morning, it's right before our nose, so to say, or right before our eyes and so on. So there are many descriptions, Prabhupada says, found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. And then he says, one should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. Now fasten your seatbelt. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentrating of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. So, the way I have always approached this, that there is a lot of stress in our movement on Vrindavan Krishna, Braj Krishna, and then the deities which are worshipped in most of the central altars are Radha and Krishna deities. I always was thought, what if I'm a Ram Bhakta? Hanuman is wonderful, and so on. What if I'm this or that? On a personal level, I always think in this life I've met a pure Krishna devotee, Radha Krishna devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and I don't think there is an accident that I was landing in his harbor, and I'm trained by him to get into the boat where he is the captain, and that he will bring me over the ocean of samsara. I think that's not by chance. And then on another level, that is perhaps the synchrist, I don't just know the English word for this, but the person who likes to be a little vast in his understanding. I think the Krishna, my Krishna appears and jumps out of the pillar and protects his Bhakta Prahlad, and he has angry eyes and the head of a lion. Wonderful how Krishna is so protective. In other words, I've settled my case with the consideration I was brought in this life by the Lord to a pure Radha Krishna Bhakta, and also I will not miss Ram or Nrisimhadev. They are the same Krishna who appears in various forms for various pastimes. Yes, so Hare Krishna.
Very beautiful answers. I'll just maybe add one other thought. Hari Parishad Prabhu was beautifully mentioning about God's unfulfilled desires and how the Lord ultimately comes in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Krishna Nomi Swarupam, to experience Radha Bhava. So Mahaprabhu comes to Jagannath Puri, which is known as Viraha Kshetra. And here he comes to intensify and focus his meditation and internal relish of Srimati Radharani's intense loving feeling towards Krishna. And we know that in the Gambira he was being nourished by the support of Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. But the very interesting thing is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri was also meeting with Gadadhar Pandit. And with Gadadhar Pandit, he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And specifically with Gadadhar Pandit, he was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing the pastimes of Dhruva and Prahlad. But that's very, very, I find that an extremely deep point. That the Bhagavatam is nourishing us in all ways. When we hear about the fearlessness of Prahlad, the deep faith, when we hear about the determination of Dhruva, this is nourishing also our relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan. I remember once being in Vrindavan and someone, I can't remember who it was, he was giving a class on the Vyasasana. And he said, Gopi Bhav, you want to know what Gopi Bhav is? Gopi Bhav means at the age of 70 years old, you get on a ship with no money, not good health, no friends, and you turn up to a foreign place after having two heart attacks on a ship, and you start preaching to the whole world. That is Gopi Bhav. So when we think of Krishna in Vrindavan, when we think of Gopi Bhav, often we think of those very esoteric emotions and anubhavs. But what is underpinning Gopi Bhav is a complete fearlessness, a complete flexibility, a complete sense of being fully available, a deep faith, a deep determination, And all the stories of the Bhagavatam are nourishing these moods within us of how we relate to Krishna. So I just wanted to add this as also a point to consider, that in our endeavors to connect deeply with Krishna in Vrindavan, all the characters of the Bhagavatam and the incredible qualities that they exude can nourish that relationship in their own unique way.
Hare Krishna, we have just pulled a genie out of the clay pot, you will, and you will laugh and you will cry when you hear that question.
For Hari Parshad Das, what is your opinion on the fall of the jiva?
Good luck.
See, there are various aspects. So the question is very loaded. Let's just put it that way. It's so loaded because in 1995 there is a GBC resolution on this particular topic. And I am aware of the GBC resolution. And I am aware that the GBC resolution says that you are not supposed to take any other position besides the one specified in the resolution. So, the question is giving me some freedom. What is your opinion? In my life, I have had various shiksha influences. Srila Prabhupada spoke in a variety of ways on this particular subject matter. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that we were in Krishna Leela, and because we developed some emotion which was not suitable for Krishna Leela, therefore we fell from there. At other times Srila Prabhupada said that in his purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, he said that nobody falls from the spiritual world. So I wish if Srila Prabhupada would be present here, then I would ask, say the same thing that Arjun said to Krishna in the third chapter. Your mixed words are putting me in some sort of doubt, because Krishna spoke mixed words in the second chapter, but I have then other shiksha gurus who are very much fixed on the point that the jiva never ever falls from the spiritual world, and those shiksha gurus also belong to this very society. So I will do a very big disadvantage to my guru janas, and my own diksha guru is of the opinion that the jiva doesn't fall. So I will do a very big disservice to them if I take a contrary position. But I like to respect all positions, and I am fully respectful of the position that the GBC has taken in this regard. Yet at the same time, my personal inclination is more towards the positions that have been taken by my Gurujanas in this matter. That is what I would like to say. Satyam Bruyat, Priyam Bruyat, Ma Bruyat, Satyam Apriyam. Speak the truth, speak the palatable truth, don't speak any unpalatable truth. So that is what I would like to say, because Brahmana means one should not cheat others. So in that spirit, I cannot lie to any of you. The question is a very loaded question, I would say. And it is nothing to do with the topics that were covered in the seminar. Okay. I don't know where the question came. Ideally, actually, the questions are supposed to be from what happened in the seminars. So I don't know where the question came from. So believe me, the GBC is still trying to sort out the issue. As we are speaking, the GBC is still trying to sort out the issue. So I will not say more on that. I have given you, I respect all the opinions, and including the official position. But also I have my personal inner understandings about the topic, which I don't want to express here, because then the entire topic will change and we will end on a difficult note. So I don't want to do that. That is what I would like to say. Does anybody? No.
What can we do to make Radha Rani happy? Most of all, what should we avoid not to make her sad or angry? Well, I'm not so. You know.
In this age of Kali Yuga, as I was mentioning, Krishna comes and accepts the mood of Srimati Radharani. Radharani's deep desire is to bring everyone to Krishna. Making arrangements, Radharani is giving a recommendation. I think Maharaj, he read this beautiful paragraph yesterday where Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna may say, patram pushpam phalam toyam, offer me a flower, but rather what the devotee will do is he'll give the flower to Srimati Radharani. And when Srimati Radharani offers that flower to Krishna, then Krishna definitely will accept it. So Srimati Radharani is giving the recommendation and connecting all the jivas to Krishna. And so in the mood of Srila Prabhupada, what can we do to make Srimati Radharani happy? Most of all, do exactly what Srila Prabhupada did. When Srila Prabhupada was a young boy, then his father, whenever any sadhu would come, then Srila Prabhupada would say to the sadhu, please bless my son that he becomes a devotee of Srimati Radharani. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada was the greatest devotee of Srimati Radharani, because he dedicated his life to sharing Krishna consciousness and opening the doors to Vrindavan for the whole world to enter. Srila Prabhupada was the ambassador of Vrindavan. And so in my understanding, what we can do to make Srimati Radharani most happy is to Janma Sarthaka Karikar Pada Upakar. Make your life successful, become a pure devotee. Don't desire to go back to Godhead. But rather, be happy to stay in the material world and serve Krishna. And perhaps of all ways, to serve Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. Make the whole world Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna.
Wonderful.
Let us again turn to the audience and not be fixed on the pot alone. Yes, I...
Pandora's box.
Yes, I saw you for a long time. I don't know your name. Please give the Smartity, tell what is it called, a microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much. I wanted to ask about the phrase which was mentioned earlier, let go, let God, and about the topic of control, which we're supposed to get rid of, to not slip in the mood of control. But sometimes I wonder how to distinguish between control and perseverance, because sometimes I feel that when Krishna, when we have maybe failures and difficulties, obstacles and something, perhaps Krishna is saying, don't go that direction. Or maybe he might be saying, he might be expecting us to make efforts and to persevere in that direction. So, I don't know if that is
clear. So as I understand, Mataji, what you're asking is that in life we have to endeavor, we have to make efforts. At the same time, we say, learn to let go. So how do we know if there's a particular course of activity, whether we should keep trying and keep going and keep endeavoring, or whether we should just let go and accept it's Krishna's plan? How do we know how to make that call? Yeah, this is difficult because... there could be many Krishna conscious decisions that we can make in any given situation. For example, if someone is on the street distributing books, this has often happened to me. So you're in the street distributing books and for 3 hours nobody is taking a book. So option A, stay there, is Krishna's test. He's seeing how determined you are, just keep going, fight the battle. Option B, use your intelligence. It's not a good spot in the town. Go down the street and try somewhere different. Option C, take a break and chant one round of japa. Option D, call it a day. So which one is the one that Krishna wants us to take? Which one is the Krishna conscious decision? In one sense, we could say there is an element of Krishna consciousness in all of those, maybe even D, as long as you're going to do something devotional. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada walked away. When there were difficulties in Jhansi and there were some complications with obtaining that temple, then Srila Prabhupada looked up, he looked at Krishna and he said, Krishna, it seems you have another plan. Too many complications here, let me walk away. But then when Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu and there were complications there, perhaps complications which were 10 times worse, a situation in which even the devotees were telling Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is telling us just get out of here. Prabhupada said, no, I made a promise to Radha Ras Bihari, I'm going to build a temple here. And Prabhupada stayed, and now that temple is our most expensive real estate in the whole of ISKCON. Clearly Srila Prabhupada was connected with the Paramatma. In fact, there's an unpublished letter in the BBT that they found some years ago where Prabhupada talks about Juhu. And he writes in that letter, actually I should have walked away from this project long ago. But Krishna was inspiring me. Continue. So, at the perfectional stage, the devotee is being guided by Krishna. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna is telling the devotee, do like this, and jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita. When we've conquered our mind, then we can receive that connection from Paramatma and that dictation to know what to do. But until we reach that point, we simply have to use our intelligence, number one, and we have to seek guidance, number two. And in some situations, it's over-endeavor to just keep trying and, you know, and in some situations, Krishna is testing you and wants you to go on. So I think it just requires that level of introspection in any given situation, and also advice from devotees who will tell you, maybe it's time to just move on to something else. Or, no, you should stay. Something is coming, but you have to bear these obstacles for now. And one way or the other, that guidance and introspection will bring us to the right conclusion. I don't know if that helps. Does that?
Very much so. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And when you make such a decision where you depend on the guidance of the Lord or the devotees, you will see in most cases you will feel relieved and you will know, achya, this is the right thing. I'm so happy. We had such a situation just a few days ago where we made a very difficult decision, which also will be expensive to realize that decision. But all concerned felt, yes, we will live with this decision. This is the right thing to do. In other words, often some feeling of relief confirms that you have done the right thing. Good. I saw Prateek. Yes, Prateek. Please ask your question. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Well, my question is to Hari Parshad Prabhu. So it's about the topic, don't desire to go back to Godhead. So, of course, I don't know, maybe you have already covered this in your lectures, but it's something unclear for me yet. So Bhagavad Gita has a lot of verses that talks about this topic. Now Krishna says, you know, do this, you come to me, or, you know, worship me, you come to me. And there are a lot of verses that addresses this, or about going back, reaching him. So what should be our perspective to address these verses, that, you know, something that we can get from these verses, you know?
So Bhagavad Gita is speaking about many levels of yoga, many levels of spirituality, beginning from offer your prescribed duties to me, and gradually you will get purified. That is called Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is in itself not a platform of liberation. It has to lead to a higher platform, Jnana or Bhakti Yoga. In Bhakti Yoga, there are many statements where Krishna says, do this and you will come to me. A devotee who does this attains me. Mame veshyasi, man manabhav mad bhakto madhyajima, mame veshyasi. Then you will certainly come to me. That's a good motivation, but at the end of the day, the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be a further development of thought by Sri Vyasadeva, because it is, Srila Prabhupada classified it as graduate study after Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, all desires are rejected. Dharma prochita kaita botra. And Sridhar Swami says even the desire for liberation is rejected at this point of time. So religion often takes on a transactional form. Do this and I will give you this. Do that and I'll give you that. Do we want transactional religion? That is to be determined by us. And there are individuals who want that. That's okay. We don't say, but do we personally want our relationship with Krishna to be transactional? Oh Krishna, I did this, so you give me that. So that is not the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Other devotees may be having that mood. It is very respect-worthy. Anybody who is in any way connected to Sri Krishna, even through Karma Yoga, is worthy of respect. But then we need to have our specific mood. And therefore, I highlighted the fact that the Gaudiya Vaishnava mood is to also say no to liberation. And it's not only the Gaudiya Vaishnava mood, it's a mood of the Bhagavatam in the very beginning to say no to liberation. But if somebody wants that, it's okay. Akamaha, sarva kamova. And third is moksha kama, udaridhi. All sorts of transactional people, tivrena bhakti yogena, yajeta purusham param. So all sorts of people, I think I'll show you the verse so that it becomes clear to you. Have you seen this verse? Akamaha sarva kamova? No? No. So that I'll show you. This is Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Akamaha sarva kamova moksha kama udaradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushah param. Akamaha, if you have no desires, you don't want anything in exchange for sarva kamo va, if you have all the material desires, and moksha kama, if you have desire for liberation. You see, moksha kama is placed in a separate category because it is still a kama, it is still a desire. And one who has no desire is termed as akamaha. So which category do we want our bhakti to be in amongst these three? Akamaha, sarva kamaha, moksha kamaha. No desire, all material desires, or desire to go back home, back to Godhead. See, somebody said akama. See there, I'm trying to influence people now. So everybody can decide. Srimad Bhagavatam gives validity. The verse gives validity to all these categories of people. How can I say no when the Bhagavatam itself says yes? But the inner mood of Vyasadeva is to reject even the desire for liberation. So that is what it is. I hope that satisfies your query to some degree. Alright? Thank you.
There is one devotee, I also see now, oh, you, this young devotee, yes, yes, please. What is your good name?
Shyama
Sundar. Shyama Sundar, please ask your question.
Hare Krishna. I had a question, especially relevant, when devotees retreat, when devotees come together, and you associate, you live in a room with 20 people, sleeping side to side, and when you come close to people, sometimes there is a lot of fault finding, there is a lot of different things going on in the mind. And I have many times been instructed and heard that you should be a genuine as a devotee. Be real. And be real, as you also spoke about regarding the question earlier, Sashan Maharaj. But how do we actually be genuine as devotees? Do we just say what is in our mind? Because I don't think that's... Then I would have no friends, no. So how can we be genuine as devotees in our dealings with other devotees and in our service to Krishna?
This is a practice-oriented question. I think we need to understand that a devotee has two sides in them. The side that they are wanting to come closer to Krishna, they want to serve him, they want to please him, and then a very human side, how they were before, what they like to eat, if they snore in the night or not, their inclinations to argument or to a peaceful mood, and so on. So there are always two. I do remember Gogovinda Maharaj would very often speak about two types of vision. The spiritual vision, the aparavichar, the paravichar, and the apparent vision, the apara vichar, and you really have to see what vision do you take. I was very confronted when I came to the devotees in the very beginning, and I had no peace because I came from a total different social background. They spoke mostly English. They were mostly from a hippie background, which I was only looking with awe and reverence from the distance, and they took every day a cold shower in the morning. I was accustomed to take a shower once a week, but in a bathing tub, you know, where it was nice and I was lying in my own. Anyways, so very much different, and it was very difficult for me. And I thought I can't live with these people. They are so different. It's just so different, the way they talk, the way they. When I saw them bowing down on the floor, what are you doing? What are you searching for? it was really very difficult. And the difficulty, the devotees are very different. They laugh at different places. I would never laugh at that place. I would laugh at another place. And very different. But I prefer to look at the devotees, the spiritual side of them. That they came here. All of you came here to come closer to Krishna. You relish Krishna consciousness so much. Wow, you just don't get tired, or only a little tired, from time to time, and so on. And I prefer to see that. The human, I think sometimes we have wrong expectations. We think all of a sudden a human being turns into an angel, Gandhava, when he comes in. But they will always be human beings. There will always be differences and so on. And this vision where you see differences is in the mode of passion, a rajasic view. But I like to go the sattvic view, that is where I see the oneness. The oneness, or we don't like this word, where we can agree, and so on. You have to make the choice. You have to make the choice anyways in your life. Will you see things in a material way or in a spiritual way? And devotees offer your interactions with devotees are the best training ground anyone can imagine to learn to choose the spiritual vision. Because if you don't, you're lost. they are different. They will be different. See, we have people from so many social backgrounds here, from so many countries, from so many, we found that out in our community when there was COVID. One side of our community, no, there is no COVID. It's just it's just an invention of who? Donald Trump or someone? No, not Donald Trump. Someone.
New World Order.
New World Order. Yeah. Others had a total different opinion, and I was asked, "What do is your opinion?" And I said, I'm a spiritual soul. I want to connect with Krishna, and I don't take any sides. Like, if you will ask devotees about the conflict, any type of conflict where they are involved, they have different world conflicts, different views, because they're different human beings. They're wired, but there is one view where we all agree. Let's chant. Let's eat prasadam, let's go to the lectures. And that's what we are. We are basically about this. Why go for lower things? That I didn't come to find, let us say, I came to find a society where I can practice spiritual life and service, and that there's every opportunity here for this. Hare Krishna. So, let us now turn to the... yes, please, Madhuji, we have a microphone for you.
Thank you so much. My question is, how do we cultivate the feeling of desperation, especially to become sincere? So how do we cultivate the feeling of desperation to go deep in hearing and chanting? Because during, and also a couple of weeks after a retreat like this, I feel so much enthused and have so many ideas how to do better. And I really feel a transformation is happening in the heart, and I'm very grateful. But somehow or other, I feel like I'm slipping away again after a couple of weeks, going back to my usual routine. And I feel that I slip back into old patterns. And what I heard from the class is that it requires regular and relentless hearing and chanting. And I think that's also my problem. But somehow I feel okay with it. So I feel like the mediocrity that I put into it is okay, because I'm not being shunned by the movement, which is great also. I'm happy to be here. But at the same time, I don't have the feeling of desperation to actually change. And I think that's also the attitude that I'm missing, right? The sincerity to actually want to change. So it's difficult to break the habits, even after hearing so many wonderful lectures on this. So again, how do we cultivate the feeling of desperation to become sincere? Thank you.
It's amazing when we read about the amazing saints in our tradition. This morning we were giving the japa reflection, and we were talking about how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Nityananda Prabhu, came to him in a dream. And what did Nityananda Prabhu say to him? Are are Krishnadas nakaraha bhai Vrindavana yaha taha sarvalabhyahai. Oh Krishna Das, don't fear, don't have any uncertainty in your mind when you wake up the next day. Just go to Vrindavan, and in Vrindavan you will obtain everything that your heart desires. The amazing thing is that when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami got up the next morning, there was no hesitation. He just moved. When Narottam Das Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, came to him in a dream and told him to go to the Padma River to benefit and avail of the liquid form of prema that Mahaprabhu had deposited there, there was no hesitation. This procrastination is our biggest problem. It seems to me that we procrastinate when there's a few things that are missing in our life. We procrastinate, number one, because the goal hasn't captured our heart strongly enough. To quote one of the acharyas of our time, Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, when your why is deep enough, then you can contend with any how and what. So the first thing is that the desperation and that level of movement, of dedication towards what we're doing, can only happen when the goal that we seek has become so deeply implanted within our hearts and has enchanted our mind. But even when we have a goal, it seems the second reason why we may procrastinate is because we don't have a clear plan and a clear idea of how we're going to reach that goal. We need to know, this is where I want to be, that's my cherished destination, but what do I need to do tomorrow? What do I need to do after 1 month? What do I need to do after 6 months? What is my roadmap there? If we don't have a step-by-step plan of how to move towards our cherished destination, then we tend to procrastinate. But even when we know the goal and we have a plan and we know what we need to do, we may still procrastinate if we don't have the right environment around us to give us the confidence and the inspiration to walk that path. And therefore, often what we're lacking is the right association, the right environment, the right situation around us to walk that journey. So I think when we go away from a retreat like this, we need to instill that goal. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajay Satanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. Yes, we want to reach. Our heart needs to reach Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, who resides in Vrindavan. Then we need to have a very clear plan of what does that mean? What do I have to do in my life to walk there? And then we have to create the environment around us that gives us the confidence and the empowerment to then walk that journey. And I think when we do that, then we can move towards where we want to move. These are some thoughts.
Wonderful. Very well, very nice. Would you like to address this point also, or do you feel it's covered?
I think it's covered. You should take something from the pot, is
it? Okay. So, here's something from the pot. Could you please, can you read?
Is it bona fide to sing? He cut the sing. To use the word Jaya. For example, Jai Radha Shyam Sundar Jai Nitai at the end of Aartis, because devotees once asked Prabhupada if they can sing something like this, and Prabhupada said Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is enough. His Holiness Shachinandan Maharaj ki.
You are very intelligent.
Let me see.
No, you are very intelligent.
I think I'm being given the loaded questions. So, I don't see an issue in this, because this is a statement that Prabhupada was once asked if they can sing something like this, and Prabhupada said Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is enough. There is a specific context to that question. Devotees used to like to sing Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, and they asked if they can turn this into a separate mantra that can be regularly chanted. In reply to this, Srila Prabhupada said, no, Hare Krishna Mahamantra is enough. Now that reply is taken out of context, and if it is, you know, made into a general principle, then that is not justified. The reason being, the same Srila Prabhupada introduced Prema Dhvani prayers at the end of every aarti. And how do Prema Dhvani prayers begin? Jai. And how do they end? And what is in between? So So Srila Prabhupada will not speak against him, his own self, right? So that particular question has a particular context. And devoid of the context, it can turn into a misapplied instruction. So, thank you, Krishna. I remembered the context.
I didn't know.
The loaded questions are coming from the pot.
It is clear because they don't write the name.
Yeah.
It's anonymous.
Yes. It's like questions you, comments you get on Facebook. These are questions without repercussions. So, anyways, yes. Maharaj.
Yes. Hare Krishna, this is Nikonja Vasini. We will have a microphone for you.
So, I wanted to actually share a little bit of a realization from this bombardment of nectar, because we were in Radhadesh. We had 5 days of Harish Prasad Prabhu's classes morning and evening, and then coming here right away, so it's been full. And when I joined, one of the first instructions to me was, or at least that's what I picked out, is that Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, when he would chant, he would put an accent on the first Hare, because he, and also when you could hear Prabhupada's chanting, he would put the accent on the first Hare, and I took that very seriously. So I've been chanting like this, and then I thought, okay, the first Hare is so important, the two last ones must also be very important. So that helped me a lot by chanting the whole mantra, because usually we start very enthusiastic with the first Hare, and then it dwindles sometimes. So I thought, okay, Srila Prabhupada finds the first Hare very important, the last two must also be important. So that helped me for chanting. Then one of the instructions for pujaris that Srila Prabhupada gave to us is to make Srimati Radharani so beautiful that Krishna will not leave. And I thought in this case, because only these things about Radha and that how Gaudiya Vaishnavas are actually Radha Bhaktas, it's only coming out now when the scriptures, the more esoteric scriptures, are being studied by you qualified devotees. And but actually when I joined, already Prabhupada was instigating this, that Srimati Radharani is so beautiful that Krishna will never go. And in here in the temple, Srimati Radharani is so beautiful that Krishna is just so happy to be with her. So then there is a question for Hari Prasad Prabhu, and thank you so much for enlightening us and giving us all the explanation of Rupa Goswami, because reading this ourselves, Siddhanta Madhava or any of these scriptures, it cannot give that same understanding, I find. I always shy away from it because I start comparing or, just mental gymnastics in my head. But the way you explained it is so nectarian. And then you started one of the classes with saying that Krishna was one. I think it's also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's one, and then they came two, Radharani and Krishna, for the pleasure potency and the opportunity for a relationship. And then in the form of Lord Chaitanya, they combined again. So then I was reading, I think it was in Prema Vivarta from Jagannanda Pandit, he was explaining that you are in illusion to think, so who is first? Lord Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and then Radha and Krishna, and then Lord Chaitanya, because they came together as Lord Chaitanya. But then he said, you're an illusion to think that there is a time situation, because they are all eternal. So who came first? And I really want to know your vision on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Krishna Eka Atma. This verse is in the meter Manda Kranta. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Rasmad Ekatmana Vapibhupura Deha Bhedam Gatautau Chaitanyakhyam Prakatamaduna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dutisubalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. This is Adilila 1.5, where it is specified. Although Radha and Krishna in one in their identity, previously they separated themselves. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So, the thing is, for the purpose of pastimes, it is spoken that they had two identities, then they became one and then they again became two. In the spiritual world, everything is supposed to be eternal. If something loses its eternality in the spiritual world, then it cannot be a part of the spiritual world. So when it says here that although they are previously they separated, then they united, it is speaking about previous appearances of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the material world, previous appearances of Radha Krishna in the material world. It is not speaking of anything in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, they are eternally Radha and Krishna, they are also eternally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in the material world, when they appear, previously means in the previous day of Brahma, they were different, then they again combined, then again they have became different, again they have combined as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is only in reference to what goes on in the material world. In the spiritual world, they are simultaneously separate and simultaneously one. The material world has six changes which do not happen in the spiritual world. Jayate, Asti, Vardate, Viparinamate, Apakshiyate, Nashyati. Jayate, something takes birth, that only happens here in the material world, not in the spiritual world. Asti, it exists only for some time, that is not what, in the spiritual world it exists eternally. Vardate, something increases in size permanently, that is not what happens. And Viparinamate, it permanently transforms into something else, it happens only in the material world. Apakshiyate, it dwindles. Nashyati, it gets destroyed. These are the six changes of the material world which are not present in the spiritual world. Even if the changes are seen in the spiritual world, they are for the purpose of Leela, they are not permanent changes. So that is what can be said about this. I hope this answer satisfies your query.
I have just one more little part. So can we be devotees of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya at the same time?
Yeah, the Gaur Ganesh Desh Deepika is, what is that? The Praman is given in the writings of Sri Narottam Das Thakur. Gaura Prema Rasarnave Seitarange Jebadube Seiradha Madhava Antaranga. So Gaura Prema Rasarnave, you know, one who actually dives in the waves of ocean of Lord Chaitanya's prema, immediately becomes a confidential devotee of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. This is the answer to your query. Yeah, why not?
So, Hare Krishna. A quick glance on the wristwatch. I would say we go now for the very last question. I don't know how to choose. Maybe I close the eye. I don't know. How would you choose? Well, what? Oh, what?
Yeah.
No but, no but. Oh, Krishna, how do we do this? I'm sorry, I'm not partial, but this devotee has so much, so long he has his arm up, isn't it? No. No, not really. Oh, Krishna. Let us do something controversial. I go to the editor of the magazine Tattva Viveka. That is Ramdas. He is in the back. So, because the people in the back had no, and he is an editor. Hare Krishna. All of you who looked at me, I know Poonamasi looked at me with these eyes. Oh, please, please, please. Let us listen very carefully to this question. Perhaps it's your question also. Or a shadow of the question. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, yes, I hope it's a relevant question. It's more about the theological part of our discussion. Question to Hari Parashat. I think you are speaking about the rasas, bhakti ras, and you are very much concerned about this topic. I think it's also a very important topic for us to continue in our bhakti. So you also spoke about the different rasas. And rasa actually exists in two versions, ras and ras, isn't it? So the ras with the short A and the ras with the long A, ras. So can you tell something about the difference of these two types of ras?
The term rasa is a technical term defined by the connoisseurs of rasa, including Srila Rupa Goswami. Vibhavair anubhavaischa sattvikair vyabhichari bihi. That is the technical definition in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That within the heart of a devotee, there is something called as sthayi bhav, permanent emotion towards Krishna. When that bhava, permanent emotion, is nourished by various other factors, vibhava, anubhava, sattvik bhava, vyabhichari bhavas, it becomes more flavorable and turns into rasa. A small example of that is somebody watching a drama of, let's say, Sri Ram Leela. Somebody sitting in the audience and some person is playing the character of Sri Ram. Shri Ram and Bharat is visiting him because Bharat wants to take him back to the kingdom. Shri Ram says, I will not go. I have taken a vow now. So Bharat takes the slippers of Shri Ram and puts it on his head. At that point of time, some people in the audience start crying. So what has happened here? So what has happened is the person who is sitting in the audience is Sahridaya, very like-minded, and has empathized with Bharat. And because of having empathized with the, not with Bharat, but the person who is playing the character of Bharat, and that person also is empathizing with the actual Bharat. And because of that, the emotions which are portrayed by the character suddenly jump into the heart of the like-minded person. And then the like-minded person has a transcendental experience that takes over. And then some resultant emotions which are called anubhav come out. So this entire experience is called rasa. Rasa is a technical term which is also defined as Gopinam Nritya Visheshah. A special type of dance performed by the cowherd community is called rasa. So this is again a technical term, rasa. Or you can say rasanam samuha rasa. conglomeration of various rasas is rasa, but originally ras refers to a circular dance which is performed mainly by the cowherd community and traditionally in India. So that is what rasa is. Today this rasa has, if you go to in India, there is a slight variation of rasa which happens in Gujarat, which they have sticks and you know, so that it is called dandiya ras, so with ras with sticks. But that is a perverted reflection of what is the original rasa that took place between Sri Krishna and the gopis. So rasa, rasa. I hope that satisfies your query. Yes. Thank you.
Krishna, 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 Krishna. I thank very much our Keshava Maharaj and our Hari Parshat Prabhu for giving such wonderful, insightful answers. And yes, it is a great hope that some of the discussions or questions and answers were relevant to you. And I would like in closing just highlight our the question, which I think is everyone's question, immediately everyone's question. When I'm here, I see my devotion is heightened, my Krishna consciousness is heightened, but when I go to my normal life circumstances, I do feel actually that it goes down and veers down. And Keshava Maharaj, I think that is for everyone. I know in the Japa retreats all over the world, this is usually a question which is addressed at the end. At festivals, at the end, this is addressed. How can we maintain this enthusiasm, this clearness of consciousness? How can we maintain it? And the answer of Keshava Maharaj was, I think, very practical for every one of us. First of all, he said, we must think of the goal. In Sanskrit, you call that prayojana bodh, an awareness of the goal of your life. Then we must make relevant steps, even if they are small, towards that goal. If I'm saying wrongly, please correct me, Maharaj. And the third was, we need to create an environment that is inspiring us in our journey. I really think with this Bhakti immersion retreat, there's something beautifully created between the speakers and all of you. It is really a very immersive retreat in Krishna, his pastimes, his forms, his form, etc. And I would really encourage you to go through this. Think about where was something that was striking you, or it impacted you in a special way, and then start to make a small practice. Perhaps you read every day a verse and so on from about these subject matters which have caught your interest. There's Patyavali, many of the books from which Hari Parshad quoted are out. Or you say, no, let me read every day a little in the Krishna book to get to know Krishna a little bit. Or you go to these very interesting hints which you received in Keshava Maharaj's lectures and make a practice around it. And that, you know, steady drops of water can wash away or veer down even a granite stone. So if you introduce a new practice, a new habit that is doable for you, you will see how you will actually change and transform. But if you just go, okay, I consumed the festival, and there was lasagna prasadam also, and what else was there? It was about Krishna somehow. Then it will not be as beneficial as it can be for you. So this is a little recommendation at the end.